as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory. Teach us, Lord, full obedience, holy reverence, true humility, and test
Amen. Thank you for doing that. That last line, I always have to check myself because we're in the process of building out Shiloh Plaza, and it says, "Speak, O Lord, until your church is built." And we're like, "No, speak longer than." But that's the church. Is the universal church, the body of Christ. And so, for those of you, I'm going to have Kanan linger here for a bit. For those of you that don't know, Kanan, if you're new here or have been here less than a year, Kanan used to be over worship arts like Keith is now. And although she doesn't play the piano, I don't think, but this past week, we talked about I Belong to Friendship and what friendship with God looks like, where Jesus is a friend of sinners. And this week, we're taking the second word in our name, friendship community church, and we're talking about I belong to community. And so what I've asked Kanan to do, what I asked her to do last service without any rehearsing, it was a high wire act, but it worked out okay, was to talk about her kind of journey leaving this body off of staff and taking a break from last summer, which I actually guest preached the Sunday that she resigned, so I thought, oh, it's me. And have her talk about a little bit about this kind of journey and community and what it means to be part of friendship. So, Kanan, what has this past year been like for you?
Well, I can speak first to the lack of community. And so when when I stepped down and left and our family took a break from being here, I can say that you feel that lack of community, and you feel it in a lot of ways. You feel it in your heart and your spirit and your mind and your home. You feel it all over. And so this is a body. This is our friends. It's our family. And so when we walked back in the doors,
Week after Easter.
Yeah.
I remember.
I
was like, oh no.
Like an earthquake or something. Yeah. Something
everybody's
rumbled.
Scattering
somewhere.
Around. What do we do?
Everybody watch out. Get down. But I was scared. I was nervous. I was nervous to walk back in because you don't know how you're going to be received, and you don't know if you've now been like cut off arm, you know, that isn't allowed back. But walked in the doors, and it was home. It was family, and everyone received us so amazingly well.
Even with the fluorescent lights on and the pipe and drape gone,
it
was very easy for you, right?
That part, yeah. Easy, really easy. But I was grateful, very grateful, and grateful for this family and this body, and that it was all still our family. So.
And now let's talk a little bit about not just the Sunday morning community, but you've been participating in the Tuesday night women's Bible study led by my wife that is over, sort of, except for the celebration on Tuesday that's open to any woman that even didn't come. But why don't you talk about the community that's happening there?
Yeah, I said this earlier, but it's amazing, first of all, that I joined a women's Bible study. Yeah. I don't do that. I don't do those things. And so that was a step in faith to begin with. But it's been an incredible thing as we are growing together as women, and as we have some of us walking through the same phases of life and some of us that are younger or older, and that we can say either this way or this way, I need you both ways. And also the pop-up dinners, I guess we're going to call them, have been amazing because the most unlikely people have gotten together and have found community outside the walls of the church. And that, I think, is what's even cooler than just, it's kind of like, oh, I can come show up on a Tuesday night. But how about if you get a phone call on, what day was it, say, Wednesday? And you just say, hey, want to go to dinner in an hour? And we went, and it's been awesome because we've shared each other's stories and our lives, and we've gotten to know each other, and that's what community is. It goes beyond the walls.
Yeah. So. And I heard you all almost got kicked out of McNamara's. Is that right? It's like the Irish were like, you all are too rowdy for this place. That's always true, good. Well, the exciting thing that we have been praying over and have been waiting for the right time, the right person. And these conversations go all the way back to when I was interviewing for the position, going back to last summer, is really establishing and growing a healthy women's ministry at the church. And so this morning, with the elders' blessing, I wanted to announce a new director of women's ministry, and it's not Kanan. Because she didn't like doing Bible studies, evidently. But now you do, right? Now you do?
Oh, I love it.
A little. It's stretching. A new director of women's ministries, and that's my wife, Haley DeMarco, is going to start directing the women's ministries of the church for a salary of $0.00, with zero budget and zero office space. So we're keeping the glass ceiling way down here. No, she has a passion for women and seeing them not only find Christ, but forgiveness and grace in Christ and grow in that grace. And so, and that's women of all ages. So that's not just those that can drive and go to pop-up dinners, but that even is the young women that are in the student ministry, that are in children's church. Some of you may know this, but most of you probably don't, that when my daughter Addie started helping lead the children's worship music in every Sunday morning, my wife saw all of these girls and boys that wanted to serve by leading worship. She saw an opportunity, so she started doing a Sunday morning discipleship and devotional with those kids, and has been doing it all of 2017 practically. And so she's already been serving just under the radar, but we're going to have her report to the director of discipleship and groups, which is Paul Turner, and then I will report to her. So no, that's not how it's mutual submission. I eat the meat, she eats the salads, we're symbiotic. So the other announcement that we wanted to make was that in the past we've had someone assisting the worship arts director in helping lead and take the student worship on Wednesdays over, and before that was Mike Petty, and before that it was Darren Lord, and Mike Petty has moved on a few weeks ago, but with this new format change on Wednesday nights, we're going to call it Wednesday Night Live. It's middle schoolers and high schoolers and parents all together in the main worship auditorium at Shiloh Plaza. We're going to have this new format, and we're going to have a new worship team that consists of Keith Pipes and Kanan Albright. So we're excited. We're excited to unleash Kanan on Wednesday night. Kanan Unleashed, hashtag. I know. Actually, we might need to rethink that hashtag. And so we're excited with this new format. The campus will open at 6 o'clock. 6:15, the doors to the new auditorium, the large auditorium, will open. And we're going to have countdown from 6:15 to 6:30. And it's going to be high energy. Kanan is going to be the countdown hype person. And she's already submitted a request for a t-shirt cannon. So, Neil, watch for that. Come on across your desk. But anyways, it's going to be a lot of fun. So thank you, Haley. Thank you, Kanan, for investing in the women and the students and parents in our midst. And so we're thankful that you're part of our community. And my wife and I are thankful to be part of this community as well. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay.
So this morning, we're going to talk about the purpose of community. That's the first point in your notes. And because of these stories that we've had, Haley, I was out in the lobby. Did you tell the story about Celia and Jody? Yeah, that was so funny. I hate this moment. I hate this moment too. You want to go kayaking? Yeah, this moment does not work. God's sense of humor. Well, we're going to talk about the purpose of community this morning. And too often, we associate community with sameness. But healthy communities are modeled after a couple of different things. They're modeled after unity and diversity. And too often, in our minds, we think that those two things are opposites or incompatible. How can you have unity when you're diverse? Well, you believe all the same things. Well, if we believe all the same things, are we really diverse? And so the path that we're going to take through this morning's message is all laid out in Scripture. And so I'm going to share a number of scriptures with you, hit a number of different points, but the first point is this: the purpose of community for the church, for Friendship Community Church, is to reflect the unity and the community that exists in the Trinity. God Himself is communal. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons in one. And so if God is a God of community in and of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then it makes sense that we should be a body of community. And so that reflection plays out in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, Paul writes to the church, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. There are a lot of alls there, and there's a lot of ones and unity there. And so we have this juxtaposition and yet paradox of all and one. And that's what we are. It's like the Three Musketeers, all for one and there we go. And so when we, actually, when I said Three Musketeers, I just thought of candy bars. So it took me a second to remember the phrase, something about nougat. Anyways, the church should be one. It should be unified as a community. Romans chapter 12, verse 5, Paul says, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And so there's two additional purposes in addition to reflecting the unity and the community of God that we should have in our hearts and in our lives as the purpose of community. One is that we lead others to faith in Christ, right? Because that was the Great Commission, and we'll revisit that and talk about that at the end of the sermon. But one is to lead people to faith. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 23, I in them and you in me. Who is he talking about there? Jesus is speaking to the Father. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you, the Father, sent me, Jesus, and loved them even as you loved me. So the community that we have in the church is to lead others to faith. But also community is to lead believers to maturity. If we are a church that only leads people to faith, but we don't lead people to maturity in that faith, then we're falling short of what our commands are to fulfill as a body. Again, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul begins to tell us, the church, how we attain unity of faith. And he says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood or womanhood or personhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so community exists to lead us to maturity in faith. That's why women's Bible studies are good. That's why Men of Meat is good. That's why gathering as a body on Sundays is good. But when we're talking about community, and here's your next point, fill in the blanks, we have to consider two areas and how they intersect with community, and that is diversity and divisiveness, because they both emanate from the same root word, diversity and divisiveness. Diversity is that we've talked about before in this I Belong series, as far as the body should be diverse, not just from backgrounds, but from points of view, from rooting interests. How many people's favorite football teams won yesterday? How many of them haven't played yet? They play tomorrow night? Yeah, there you are. And then how many lost? Did anybody have a losing weekend? No? That's good. My rooting interest put up 77 points this weekend. And so they played, I don't know, Tennessee School of the Blind, evidently. Anyways, so the diversity that we have in the body is important, but do you know that the great divide that existed in the New Testament church for the first Christians was between Jew and Gentile? It was ethnic division, because Jesus came, the Jews thought that Jesus came for them, but Jesus did come for them, but he had others in mind as well. In John chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus says to his disciples and the other Jews that were assembled, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Remember last week, Jesus, friend of sinners, he's going to draw people to him. People are going to seek him, and then he is going to be a friend to those who listen, who follow him. And they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, not two, not Jews and Gentiles. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. Diversity is so important for our church, for friendship, because the church should transcend all barriers. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 11, Paul says, here within the body, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. And yet, even then, there was divisions in the New Testament church. Divisions in the New Testament church. Do you know what some of the causes were? They're very ancient and foreign to us in our civilized ways. Let me read off some of them. Personal ambition, ethnic tension. By the way, personal ambition, you're like, personal ambition in the early church? Even before Jesus had been crucified and died and was raised from the dead, the disciples argued about who was the greatest. Personal ambition, ethnic tension, differences of opinion, that's also known as having different preferences, troublesome heretical leaders, that is people that claimed the gospel but led them astray, partisan spirits, as far as taking one person's side in the body over another on an issue that didn't matter, and finally, greed. None of those things we have to deal with anymore within the church body or that's kind of tongue-in-cheek sarcasm. Of course, we have to worry about those things because man's sinful heart, your sinful heart, my sinful heart, is no different than the men and women of the early New Testament church. That's why community has to celebrate diversity and yet minimize or protect against divisions. Here are a couple of warnings against divisions in the church. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, I appeal to you, brothers, and again, whenever you see the word brothers in Scripture, it means fellow believers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. And again, in Romans chapter 12, verse 16, right after talking about the church as a body of many members, Paul goes on to say, live in harmony with one another. That's why I think Keith last week and Canaan this week kind of pulled the microphone away when we were singing Speak, O Lord, because we want to hear harmony in our prayer and in our singing. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty or full of pride, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. So there's warnings against divisions within our community. But there's also acceptable differences beyond just diversity of opinion or thought or backgrounds. Some of the ways that acceptable differences can exist in the church is in secondary matters of conscience. Secondary matters of conscience. For instance, there are many believers that do not drink alcohol. And there are other believers that drink alcohol. We have a church that we're building out that is right next door. We share a property line with a liquor store. Guess what? There's overflow parking for us on Sundays because the liquor store is closed. And your pastor is going to park right at the front door. I'm going to put a sign right there. Pastor's preferred parking. The picture will go viral. But that even existed in New Testament times as well. Not over the issue of alcohol, but over the issue of what to eat, what was clean to eat, what was acceptable to eat. But in secondary matters of conscience, Christians, Scripture displays, are to respect rather than judge each other. These things should not impair the essential unity that we should have in our community, in Christ. And this is not just things like unclean foods or alcohol. This is also secondary matters as far as friendship community church is concerned, secondary matters that are secondary to the gospel that maybe are are secondary matters where theology matters, like the difference between infant baptism and believer's baptism. The church, the elders, myself, we have a stated position, but for those that are willing to set that position aside to be about the first things of the gospel and our community, we welcome the diversity of opinion on those things. So Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, Paul outlines some of these, how we're to deal with secondary matters. And he says, "As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables." That's right, vegetarians, you're weak. I didn't say that in first service because you all get me, you all understand me. "Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him." And so those are acceptable differences within the church. It's also acceptable to have a variety of spiritual gifts within the church. Not everybody is going to have the same spiritual giftedness. And there are necessary divisions in the church. If somebody says, "Oh, no, let's not be divisive," what are some of the ways that "let's not be divisive" can go the wrong way? Well, it can happen between those who are truly preaching and teaching the true gospel versus heretical alternatives. Like, for instance, the prosperity gospel that says God wants all of us to prosper and be rich, and God doesn't want you to suffer, and if you have suffering in your life, it's probably because something you did or you didn't have enough faith. You just need more faith, and you need to send $5.60 to my post office box, and I'll send you a prayer rug, and it'll all be good. That is where differences and divisions should exist in the church, where we shouldn't accept false gospels. But also, we need to see differences. We need to recognize differences between those who are truly committed to Christ and those who are apparently part of the church but living unrepentant, sinful lives. And that's a hard word for a church like Friendship, because we want to welcome everyone. We do welcome everyone. We welcome because Jesus welcomed everyone. He welcomed people that were drawn to him and that sought him and that were willing to listen and follow and then consider their sin and then repent of it and then believe. All of those stages were welcoming. But what Scripture tells us here is that once someone has identified themselves as a believer, that we should expect them to grow in maturity in community. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6, Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica and the leaders there, "Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness." Let me pause there. Idleness. What do you do when you're in your car and you see a stoplight? You stop and you wait, and your car does what? It idles. It just idles. Or soon we're going to have those icy mornings and you're going to go out to your car and start it up and get the defroster going, and we're going to idle until the car warms up, till the ice melts. Don't leave your car unattended. It's against the law in this region. But and then once the ice melts and you can see, then it's safe to go, right? But what if you walked out to your car, you started it up, you got the ice off the windshield, everything was defogged, and you could see, but you just sat there idling? It's not the purpose of why you started your car, right? That's not the purpose of a car. A ship is safe in harbor, but that's not what ships are built for. And so our idleness is something that God does not want us to leave us there. We're to grow in maturity. And not in accord with when someone from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. The tradition that Paul is talking about to the church is the tradition of the gospel. And so over these essential gospel principles, there's necessary division within the community. Now, Let's talk about community inside and outside the church. That's the last point there. Community inside and outside. We've talked about community inside quite a bit. What is the community for? The community of God, the community of the church. What is it for? It's to grow us in maturity so that we don't sit in idleness, but it's also to make disciples. So that's taking the inside and taking it out. But what we do here on Sundays, what we're going to do at Shiloh Plaza is something that is biblical. A lot of people will say, well, let's just meet in our homes. Why do we have to? We don't need a building. Let's just meet in our homes, or let's meet in a coffee shop, or let's just meet throughout our day. And that's good. But in the book of Acts, which records the early church's history, the book of Acts chapter 2, verses 44 through 46, it outlines what the first church did after they were empowered by the Holy Spirit at Christ's leaving. And it says, and all who believed were together, and they had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, that isn't even week to week, by the way, and day by day, attending the temple together, because at first these were all Jews, and so they had a house of worship where they learned not only the Old Testament that was being taught, but they were living out the New Testament as it was being written in their lives. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Friends, my prayer is that Shiloh Plaza is not a Sunday morning building. That's one of the reasons we're changing that format on Wednesdays, so that we have Wednesday Night Live for middle school, high school, and parents and adults that want to sneak in that at one time had parents, or they socialize with parents, whatever it is. But that we also have a children's program that goes on for elementary and preschool. That's going to happen at the same time as well. But we want to have Bible teaching and worship of God and Bible studies that are happening throughout the week, day by day. That's my goal. That's our staff's goal. So community inside the church and outside the church, how we outreach to the community. Friendship has a rich and storied history, reaching out to the community. We've got to reach out to the community for those two purposes of building community, and that is reaching people for Christ, showing God's love, sharing the gospel, and then bringing them into our community so that they can reach maturity. It's about extending hospitality to one another, greeting one another, and even sometimes welcoming home people that have left and come back, even people that are former opponents. Like Paul, most of the scriptures we've read this morning were penned by Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Paul persecuted Christians before Jesus drew him to himself and called him to repentance. The disciples argued about whether to receive a former opponent. Paul was the guy, as a young man, that held the coats, the robes of those that stoned Stephen to death. They knew who Paul was, and yet they argued over it, but they came to the saving knowledge of grace, reckoned with the grace that they had received, and then extended that grace out. Lastly, the Great Commission. The Great Commission is why our community exists, to take the gospel to our community and to the nations. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20 are the last words of Christ before he ascends into heaven. And the narrative goes like this. Now the 11 disciples, because Judas had betrayed Jesus and killed himself, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore. The therefore refers to all of that authority. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, that community of God, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus left the earth. He did not leave our community. In fact, he is the head of the church. This is not my church. This is not the elders' church. This is Christ's church. And so when we talk about community, we have great pictures of like what we heard about the awkward greeting time and finding a new kayak buddy out of something that you hate. And we heard stories of a leaving of not just an attender, but a staff member, and then them returning back to this community. Not because this community is better than any other community out there, but because that's where God drew her back to. And then we have the stories of these pop-up dinners and the women's ministry events and growing in community there.